7 of them going into this building, and some going to the nursery, but there's 6 going, I think, into this building, if I'm not mistaken. And when one or two of them goes out, you can really feel a difference. So that's why it's super warm in here. We're going to leave these doors open. Hope it'll just blow the hot air out and keep it circulating. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to bring you a message this evening that I feel like ought to be preached every now and then, or word to this effect. I'll read you the most famous verse in the Bible first. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You ever think about this? God had only one Son, and He made that Son become a missionary. He was a missionary to this world. God's Son. David Livingston said that. God had only one Son, and His Son was a missionary. Now, before I read chapter 1 to you this evening, let me tell you the title of the message. The title of the message this evening is Missionary or Mission Field. Missionary or Mission Field. Everybody in here tonight is a missionary or a mission field. You are either reaching or you need to be reached. You're either somebody that's already been reached, trying to reach others, or else you're without God and need somebody to reach you. Missionary or mission field. One of the two. Now, tonight, let me show you this in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Okay, they were mission fields. The Lord reached them. They began to follow him as disciples. Verse 38. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Now stop right there just a second. Now here's Andrew. He's a lost man without God. The Lord comes up and says, "Hey, follow me." Andrew's a mission field. He's a heathen on the mission field. The Lord reaches him. Andrew turns and follows him. And then look what Andrew done. Verse 41. Andrew becomes a missionary. Verse 41. "He first findeth his own brother Simon." He was no longer a mission field. He is a missionary. Now who's the mission field? Simon is, right? Simon is the missionary in this, the mission field in this verse. Andrew's the missionary. "And saith unto him, We have found the Messiah." You hear a lot of preachers talk about, "Bless God, I didn't find him, he found me." That ain't true exactly. You did find the Lord. That's what he said, did he? Is that what he said? Now, the truth is, you found the Lord and the Lord found you. You say, "Well, the Lord wasn't lost." And he don't say he was lost. Just listen, my car ain't lost, but you might have to turn around here before you find it. God's right where he's supposed to be. You found the Lord found you. You was lost, he wasn't. He said, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So now he becomes a missionary. Simon Peter becomes the mission field. He came to the Lord. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. And the day following, Jesus go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Now here, Philip, he's the mission field. Philip is the heathen that needs to be found. Saith unto him, "Follow me." Verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now Philip becomes a missionary, and Nathanael is the mission field. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus, the son of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So you see, he turns around, finds him. He turns around, finds him. He turns around, finds him. First you're a mission field, then you're a missionary. Then this guy's a mission field, then he's a missionary.
Somebody kept that up until me and you got saved. Somebody kept that same thing going till they had a revival at Nebo Baptist Church when I was a teenager, and somebody, I was the mission field when I walked in there that night, and they were the missionary, and they sung and prayed and preached, and I got saved. Then I became the missionary, and you come in here and heard me preach, you become the mission field, and I become the missionary. Then you come and get saved like Lionel did. He goes and calls, puts it on somebody's answering machine. He becomes the missionary, and they are the mission field. So you're one of them too. You're a missionary or you're a mission field. No Christian is any better after hearing a message unless you'll do something about hearing it. It's not going to do you any good to shake the preacher's hand and say, I really enjoyed that sermon, preacher, if you have no intentions of doing anything about what the preacher said. Amen? Bible said not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word of God. The call does not necessarily come to a chosen few, but to every one of God's children. A great man said one time, if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. C.T. Studd was a great preacher many, many years ago. He said, some people want to live under the sound of the church bell, but I'd rather run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. He said, I want to put God to put me in a place where I can reach some people. Now tonight, I'm going to talk to you about missions a little bit. And when we talk about missions, we talk about two types of missions, home and foreign. Usually when we say home missionaries, we're referring to people who stay in the America. And they do mission work. Maybe go to New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or somewhere. And we consider that home missionaries. I'm not sure that's exactly the right term to term somebody that maybe goes to California or something. But that's what we call them. Then somebody who goes across the water, across the ocean to a foreign country, we call them foreign missionaries. Now, if God really called a man to be a missionary, a foreign missionary, in our estimation, is no more a missionary than a home missionary. They're both missionaries. They're both called to preach to lost people. A guy called me the other day from California. He said, Brother Danny, preach it. He said, get up and preach that God want to call somebody to Los Angeles. Now, I never thought about that. I've never met a missionary to Los Angeles. But I'm telling you what, Los Angeles is a mission field. I've been there. It is a mission field. Matter of fact, you can be a missionary to every country in the world in Los Angeles. Just stand out on the street, and there's every kind, color, race, creed you can think of just living right there. You can go to Chinatown. You can go to Spanish people. You can go to the blacks. You can go to the whites. You can go to the rich. You can go to the poor, whoever you want to witness to. Those are mission fields. We ought to be concerned about mission. Now, I want to talk first of all for a minute about home missions. Every Christian would be concerned with home mission. I believe tonight that everybody here, every Christian in this room, ought to be concerned about what we call home mission. You know where home mission starts? Home mission starts at home, brother. With your mother, your daddy, your brother, your sister. How much the time the Lord would save somebody in the Bible and they'd say, I want to follow you. And he'd say, no, go home to your house and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. I believe the first thing you ought to do when you get right with God is tell your mother, your daddy, your brother, your sister. Tell them all. Tell them all. If you've got a cousin you ain't witness to, talk to them. If you've got an aunt you haven't witnessed to, witness to them. Write them a letter. If they live somewhere else, give them a phone call. You ought to be concerned about your family, about your friends. God has placed you where you work to be a missionary. It's no accident that you men are in these factories and plants and maybe you're a school teacher, a nurse, or whatever. It's no accident. God has you there to be a missionary to those people. You know, you can be a missionary to the people you work with. You can give tracts. You can tell somebody about God. You kids are missionaries to the schools of McDowell County. You're a missionary. All you young people, it was up here a while ago. You little ones are missionaries to Maine Elementary and Eastfield and the junior high school and the high school. You're missionaries there. You are a home missionary. We've got it in our head that a missionary is somebody who wears one of them little helmets that's got camouflage stuff on it, you know. And he wears these little shorts to right here. And he's a complete nerd. And he can't get a place to preach in America. So he becomes a missionary. And he's got glasses this thick. And he walks around with a cane. He's got little bony white legs coming down like that. And a pair of black boots on. And he comes in saying, "Well, I've come to tell the people about God." That's the way we picture a missionary. That's not what a missionary is, brother. A missionary. I'm a missionary to the heathen in Marion, North Carolina. And I go a lot of other places. I am. Poor white trash likes in here tonight. Us and all that. That's what God's called me to preach to. Amen. Where's your sense of humor, some of you? Hey, that's what God's called me to do. Hey, he's called me to preach to you, and he's called me to preach to men like that and coming in over yonder late on the back seat. Raise your hand over there. That man right there, he needs preaching too. Late out of the church this morning, come sneaking in here at night thinking nobody won't see it. God has called me to preach to the heathen and, brother, to tell them, we are a missionary. You are a missionary. God wants you to be a missionary. Hey, listen, you know what we think? We think missionaries are just people who go to... You say, "Well, I'm not a missionary, Brother Danny. Missionary only go to the heathen." And there are no heathen in America. I beg your pardon, friend. There are no heathen in America. Do you know what the definition... You know what people think heathen are? Somebody can't read and write, you know, is in voodoo religion. No, sir, brother. There's a missionary had been on the foreign field for many, many years. He came home one time or something, and somebody talked to him. And they said, "Can you tell us about the heathen?" He said, "Describe the heathen for me." This guy had been to the mission field for many years. He said this. He said, "Well," he said, "there's four things about the heathen, preacher." He said, "You remember who he's telling this to?" He said, "The first thing you'll always notice about heathen is heathen, they like to go around half naked." He said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Every heathen country you ever go to," he said, "they go around half naked. That means they take off just as much clothes as they can possibly take off and still have a little something on." That's what he said. He said, "On the heathen, on mission fields, heathen like to take off their clothes." Now, does that sound like you have to go to Africa to find somebody like that? No, sir. But all you got to do is go down Main Street. All you got to do is go down there. It is a sign when people like to run around in public with their clothes off. It is a sign of demon possession. He said, number two. Heathen like to paint their bodies. He said, all heathen paint their bodies. Now, I'm not just talking about lipstick, neither. He said they put paintings on them. They put all kinds of things on. Do you know what the biggest fad is in America right now? It's putting tattoos and paint. That thing is all over your body. Paint. That's heathenism. You know what else he said? He said, number three, heathen are very religious. All heathen are religious. They don't worship the right God, but they are religious. They are very religious minded. And that's the way people in America are. Run around half naked, paint up their bodies. But boy, when it comes right down to it, they are deeply spiritual. They'll carry around a rock that you can see through. And they carry it for good luck. That's their super crystal. And they'll keep that crystal in their pocket. And they think when they go in to get that job interview, that if they rub that crystal, it will neutralize the force field in that office and make that person like them, and they will get that job. You know what that is? That's heathenism. That's heathenism. That's a screwdriver. But that is heathenism. Amen? He said, number four, heathen always like wild dances. They act wild dances. He said they take their clothes off. He said they paint their bodies. They're extremely religious. And they like wild dances. Why? You don't have to go to Africa to find that. Amen? My soul. You will enjoy seeing people saved if you don't try to get them saved. What kind of church member are you here tonight? You're a missionary or a mission field? Let me ask you a question, church member. Are you an attender or an absentee? Are you a wing or are you a weight? Are you a power or are you a problem? Are you a promoter or are you a provoker? Are you a strife creator or are you a peacemaker? Are you a supporter or are you a sponger? When you dry up and quit trying to reach somebody else for the Lord Jesus Christ, you automatically begin to grunt and complain about things that you don't like or things that's going on in the church. Jesus was a home missionary. Where we see him? At the house of Lazarus. Jesus was a foreign missionary. The Greeks came to him. Jesus was a city missionary. He taught in the streets of Samaria. Jesus was a Sunday school teacher. On the Sabbath, he opened the scriptures and taught them the Word of God. Jesus taught children. He took them in his arms and talked to them. Jesus was a missionary to the poor. Jesus was a missionary to the blind. He opened the eyes of the blind beggars. Jesus was a missionary to the rich. He opened the spiritual eyes of Zacchaeus. And Jesus was a missionary all the way to his death on the cross when he looked over to the thief on the cross at the last dying moment of his life and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," and saved that guy by his grace. From the time he began his ministry to the time he died on Calvary, he was after people's souls, doing mission work. I read about a man by the name of John Harper. And John Harper was a preacher on the Titanic's maiden voyage. And he was, I think he'd been come to America or been to America to preach. And he's on that Titanic the night that thing went down in that water in the Atlantic Ocean. And buddy, that thing got down there and started sinking. John Harper, that old preacher, the man of God, was on that boat. And them people was wicked and they was partying and dancing that night. And they said God couldn't even sink that ship himself. Sure enough, it started going down. They should have never said that, should they? That can opener, iceberg just hit that thing, cut a big long gash in there, water poured in there by the tons. That big old ship started going down. When that thing went down, all the lifeboats got to it, and there was people out there floating around on pieces of wood and everything, and the water was, I don't know, something around 30-something degrees, and around at 40 that night, icy cold waters of the Atlantic Ocean. And they said, somebody stood up in a testimony a little bit later on, and they said that John Harper was floating on a piece of a ship. And they floated, and a big wave washed them near each other. And that person floated toward that man. And he said that old preacher hollered out at him. And he said, "I say, friend, is it well with your soul?" And the guy looked back at him and hanging onto that thing for dear life and said, "No, I'm afraid it is not. And John Harper looked back and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he said, boy, that water, they floated away from each other. And he split it a little bit later. They come back in each other's pathway. And he passed that old preacher again. And the preacher hollered out, he said, "I say, man, is thy soul saved?" And he said, "I fear it is not." And he said, John Harper said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he said, "I heard that preacher's voice." And he said, "God spoke to me." And he said, "Right there with nearly 2 miles of water underneath me, I believed on the Lord and I called on him and I got saved with the Atlantic Ocean under me." He said, "Later on the boats come by and pick me up. John Harper went down to a watery grave." And he said, "I am John Harper's last convert. Even in his dying moments, he spoke the words of truth and I got saved by the grace of God." John Harper was a missionary right to the day he died. I hope and pray by the grace of God that God will give me breath and enough strength and enough sense to keep hollering out, "Get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved," until I die in this old world. If it ever comes to the point where I can't tell people to get saved and live right, I'd rather be dead. You'd be better off dead. Go home to be with the Lord. I was thinking about today. I was thinking about our bus workers. And I was seeing up there on the board where they broke the record last Sunday. Most would ever had on buses last Sunday and with 412. And I got to thinking about that and I thought, hallelujah. And I got to thinking about that each one of those bus workers, Miss Kay right here in town, and Brother Boyce down there toward his section down toward Rutherfordton, and Brother Gordon and Miss Lynn and them down this way, and Lee up in Old Fort, my wife down in Glenwood, and these other Miss Susan up in here, and Miss Loy and Crystal and all of them. And I thought, God has put these people as missionaries in those communities. God looks down and he sees Glenwood. God looks down and he sees Dyersville. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, to begin at Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." God looks at them as missionaries. Every Saturday they knock on literally hundreds of doors. There are literally hundreds of people in McDowell County that every single Saturday get a witness from these missionaries that are sitting right in here. They get no support from churches. They get no offering. They buy their own gas. I buy one of them gas. And they buy their own gas. Put it in there out of their own pocket. And brother, put gas in those cars right up and down. I bought them candy at Walmart too. And they buy it out. Listen, they get no praise, but yet they go. And 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 they go. I say, hallelujah. Thank God. For somebody, it's a missionary. Missionary. Brother Eddie White, who's a pastor in Dallas, Georgia. He was Ernest at the youth rally. Brother Eddie's a pastor. He's a preacher friend of mine. And we cooked that stuff up. And he's a character. He really is. And he pastors a church down in Georgia. Eddie's mother has been and is, listen to me now, Eddie's mother has been and is a bus worker for 40-something years. 40 years. That sister's been going on, knocking on doors on Saturday, telling people about God, telling people about the Lord. Listen, that is exactly what's wrong with some of you people in here. You quit too soon. There's some kind of a weird demonic spirit gets in some Baptist churches in the bus ministry that you just served in the bus ministry 2 or 3 years and you've served your time and you're out. Brother, that woman's done it 40 years. Brother Boyce, how long have you been doing? 11 years. 11 years. Whoever come up with this thing? Well, I've done it a whole year, so now I'm just going to back off and let somebody else. You don't reap like that. You don't reap like that. You know who gets the blessing? The one that just stays at it. Stays at it. Brother Mike McDaniels, out trying to preach in somewhere tonight, drove an old bus up here on there faithfully Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You say, well, I get tired of hearing about that. Probably because you're under conviction and you ain't doing what you're supposed to. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, brother, listen, God said you're faithful over the little things. I'll make you rule over many things. If you want God to use you, you be a witness at work. You be a witness at Sunday school. You be a witness at high school. You be on a bus worker. You be on visitation. God will use you in a greater capacity. You know what he done? That woman had won a boy to the Lord, Eddie's mother, years and years and years ago. If I think I got this story right. I may not have all of the details, but I'd like to get it here sometime and show it to you. And this guy pastors a church now in South Carolina, and they run like 400 or 500 people and have a good bus ministry. So they brought this dear sister up from Georgia. She's getting way up in years now. And they brought her up there and put her up at the platform, and they marched in all these bus kids. And they marched them in all through there, and they all stood up there, and there's all these people, you know, about to cry, you know, and everything. And here stood that old sister, and the pastor said, all right, you come to my house and got me. And God sent me here to pastor this church, and now look. And he said, all these kids being in here this morning, you're responsible for. 40 years, man. Bible said we shall reap if we faint not. 40 years. I know it's a pretty day yesterday. I know we'd like to be with her. You say, I'd like to be in my family and have a picnic. I would have too. But God's been good to us. And God's blessed us. And we're going to heaven. Buddy, one of these days we're going to sit down beside the river of life and we're going to have a picnic that won't quit. Amen. Buddy, we're going to have nanners long from here to that wall over there. I mean, brother, we're going to have moon pies as big as them buses. May have a new manor road on the side of them. I don't know. And brother, we're going to have a time. Now's the time to work. Now's the time to put forth an effort. Now's the time to sweat. Now's the time to be a missionary. People's going to hell every day. They're going to hell. We had a man here this morning. Sat right over there. First time he'd ever been here. Right? The first time he'd ever been here? Ever. This morning, sat right over there. They went and knocked on his door yesterday. He met him at the door and said, I'm coming to church in the morning. Just like that. They'd invite him 1,000 times. No, 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 no. Yesterday, I'll be there in the morning. What happened? He was in a car wreck the other night. God rung his bell, shook him up a little bit, got him ready to come to church. You say, oh, I wouldn't fool with them for no amount of money. I wouldn't either. Lady, a missionary, man saw a missionary lady one time helping a bunch of little kids and they was dirty and everything. And the man looked at that woman and he said, I wouldn't do that for $1,000,000. And she said, I wouldn't either, but I'd do it for Jesus. Amen. Now let's think about foreign missions for a minute. Matthew 28, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I take that seriously. I take it literally. We have a responsibility to put the gospel out all over this world. We are not just to be concerned about McDowell County. We are not just to be concerned about North Carolina. We are not just to be concerned about America. We are to be concerned about Africa, Europe, Asia, Japan, China, Australia, the Philippines, Haiti, Canada, all of those places, Mexico, we are there. At judgment, one of these days, people are going to give an account. Brother, we need to do it. A man said one time, he said, I don't believe in foreign missions. He said, I just want to help, believe in helping my neighbor. That's what the Bible says. And the guy said, who is your neighbor? He thought for a minute and he said, anybody's land that joins mine. He said, how far does your land go down? He said, I reckon it goes all the way down there and meets somebody else's. He said, okay, you got a Chinese living next door to you. Over in China. That's your neighbor. This world is sick tonight and we got to reach it. It's sick physically. In Africa, many, many babies are born healthy but will get leprosy from their mother, and all they'd need to keep them getting leprosy is a bottle. That's all they need. And they'll get leprosy and die. Do you know there's some parts of Africa where the lifespan is only 33 years old, average lifespan? And there are now, over in Zaire and all those places, some the age is threatening the whole population. Buddy, it takes a man to go to a place like that with some guts, some determination. They have sores all over their body. They live with maggots. In Haiti, when I was down there, but you can see them, the kids got scabs in their head. They're picking worms off each other's head and eating them. That's right, brother. That's right. That's the heathen in this world. And the bad thing about it is, most of them grow up and die and go to hell and burn forever. We sit here in our air-conditioned home, drive our air-conditioned vehicles, and sit in nice cars and offices, and brother, let the world go to hell. You say, God hadn't called me to Africa, Brother Danny. He hadn't called me there either. But I'm going to tell you what you can do in just a minute. You can give to send somebody that's willing to go. Yeah. Amen. Hey, if your preacher ever preaches on giving to mission, and you say, no, sir, I don't believe you ought to preach on it. Hey, it's a whole lot easier to shell out a little bit and send somebody and go yourself, ain't it? Amen. Buddy, I tell you what, I enjoy living in America where I can stop at a convenience store and get a Coke and a Snickers bar. You know how much a Snickers bar was in Haiti 15 years ago when I was there? 90 cents. Probably $3 now for a Snickers bar. And they have Cokes and they taste weird. And they told us, they said, don't even eat nothing outside of this motel where you're staying. So they put something down on my plate. And it's hard to eat, it really is, because you got these Haitians standing around this fence, on the hotel's fenced in, and they're standing there watching you eat. And every bite you think, you dog, you. They look at you like, wow, nice shoes. You'll give away everything you've got before you get out of there. You'll take your shoes off and give them to you. You can't stand it, it breaks your heart. I mean, little kids just standing there wouldn't give anything. Son, they put something down on my plate. I mean, what we was eating wasn't exactly T-bone. It was goat. I didn't know it. I thought it was pork chops. It looked like pork chops. I said, man, we're going to have pork chops, huh? You know, I say, it kind of had a whang to it. And we asked these people, I said, what is it? They said, goat. I said, huh? They said, goat. I said, goat? Like G-O-A-T? That's right, brother. You say, you eat goat, Brother Danny? I sure did. Sure did. I never in my life seen a skinny pig lies in Haiti. Have you ever seen a skinny pig? Son, when the pigs are skinny, times are hard, you know it? I'm telling you the truth, man. I've seen pigs down there. Wasn't that white? It's the funniest looking thing you ever seen. Their bones are sticking out. Ribs on a pig. I've seen people laying on cardboard. Cardboard. You say, we have that here in America. Yeah, I know, but a lot of it here in America is unnecessary. Yeah. I'll tell you what, this is nothing personal, but if I was in Los Angeles and I was just all these homeless people, you know what I'd do if I lived in Los Angeles like that? I'd get stand right out there on that freeway and I'd stick my thumb out, and the first car come by, I'd say, take me out of this place to the first service station you can find. And I'd get out and I'd say, you can hire me for $1 an hour. I'll pump gas, clean your windows, do anything, and get me something to eat. Amen. You can do that in America. Yeah. But you can't do it over there in a lot of places. They ain't no job, they ain't no money. They have sores all over them, and soap could have prevented them from going blind. All they needed was soap. That's all he needed. So, God looks down, he sees all that. Some of them, belly button, navel sticking out half as big as their head. Or they're ruptured. They dance and throw their babies in fire, hoping the gods will hear them and help them. Women are treated like beasts of burden. Girls are bought for wives at 10 years old and have no... 13, they take them out in the jungle and teach them every kind of vile sin known to mankind. And they have no hope and no God. Our task is not to bring the world to Christ, but take Christ to this world. Everybody's not going to be saved, but it's our job to tell them. Somebody asked a missionary in Africa one time, they said, "Do you like it?" He said, "No, I don't like dirt. I don't like crawling into a hut over goat manure. But is a man only to do what he likes?" Ask yourself that question tonight. Is all you do is what you like? We have orders. That's what he said. He said, is a man only supposed to do what he likes? We have orders. We have orders from headquarters to go. You know what I'd like to see us do? I'd like to see us support more missionaries than we ever have in the history of our church. We have, now, you know, if you count all the work we do a lot of stuff, and I thank God for it, and I sure ain't complaining. Our camp's one of the greatest home mission fields that I know of. I mean, he reaches people all over the country and sends them back and even start fires in other churches. That's a great work. Our bus ministry is a mission work. All of that's mission work. But I'm talking about out of the United States to the uttermost parts of the world. The way we do it here at our church is by what we call faith promise. Faith promise is that I pray and I say, Lord, how much could I give? Maybe I could support a missionary. And the Lord said, all right, Danny. And he lays it on my heart to maybe give so much money a month. Whatever he lays it on your heart. And I say, by the help of God, I'm going to give so much money a month. That's my promise. And we started doing that, oh my goodness, probably 15 years ago nearly, up there in the old building. I've been doing it all these years, and God's always supplied it. I think I started out giving $10 a month. And then I went to 15. And then I went to 20. And then I went to 25. And then I went to 40. And I got to thinking, God, every time I do that, you always supply it. You always supply it. You say, Brother Danny, there's no way in the world. I just barely can pay my bills. Well, who ain't in that shape? Who ain't in that shape? But if you'll watch, if you really want something, you'll wind up getting it. You'll get that fishing pole somehow or another. Amen. What's wrong with having a fishing pole? Nothing. What's wrong with giving some money to missions? You know, you can give up one Pepsi a day and give $20 a month to a missionary. One Pepsi a day. Most of you can still have four. That's right. Amen. That's right. You think of it. Think of it. Some of you ladies, you spend more in aerobic class than you would get to missions. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to exercise. If you want to exercise, I mean, you know, that's your business. You can do it without paying for it, I can tell you that. There's miles and miles of roads out here you can run up and down. I got some work you can do. I got a bunch of mulch needs to be spread over at the house. Got a pitchfork and everything. I guarantee it'll do you more good than sweating to the oldies. But the truth is, if we really want something, we'll scrounge around somehow and get the money to do it. And there ain't a one in here that couldn't give something. There's teenagers in here that could give $10 a month in a mission offering. Every month. Now what I do, I try to do it the last Sunday night in the month. I put my mission offering in. These guys here, I've given it to them many, many times. Tell them, stick that one in them mission envelopes. And God always supplies it. Always supplies it. If I happen to not have it that, I'll put it in the next Sunday night. And I'd like, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the time come when every family in our church, husband and wife together family, would at least give enough to us to take on some that many missionaries, ever how many families we got. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. you determine in your heart. Here's what we need to do. We need to be a witness at home. We need to be a witness in your house. You need to be a witness on the job. You need to be a witness in bus ministry, visitation, whatever. And then give to send those people that are willing to go past the water. And one of these days, when we stand before God, we'll say, God, you blessed me by letting me live in America. And I tried to put the gospel out and get it to the ends of the world. I tried. Amen. I'd hate to stand before God and found out that I spent more on dog food than I did in the mission work. That'd be pitiful, wouldn't it? I'd hate to stand before God and find out that I spent more on my hair at the beauty shop or hairspray or permanent. I ain't had a permanent in months right now. I ain't never had a permanent. And I ain't going to have a permanent. I don't want a permanent. Ain't no such thing, no way. It's a temporary. If it's permanent, you wouldn't have to have nothing in 2 months. They just lie to you, ladies, until you give you a temporary. I'd hate to know I spent more on my hair than I did on God's Word getting it to the end of the world. Amen? Now, how about you? I'd like for us to bow our heads in word of prayer. I'd like for our musicians to come. And here's where I'd like to close the service tonight. I want to ask you a question. Here's the way I like to close the service tonight. I want you to just be honest. Ask God what He'd have you to do. Ask God, Lord, how much do you want me to give to missions every month? This don't go to New Manor Baptist Church. It don't go to Brother Danny. It don't go to a mission board. It goes to the missionary. Every penny of it. That's one good thing about the way we support our missionaries. The mission board don't get it. The missionary gets it. That's what you give it for. That's who it goes to. We write them checks every month. Send it out to them. Now you ask the Lord right now. This is between you and God. We're not going to ask you to sign a paper tonight. We're just between you and God right there. Between you and God. Say, Lord, I believe I could give some of you $25 a month. Some of you could give $50. Some of you could give $100 and never miss it. $100 a month and never miss it. I guarantee you there's people in here that could give $100 a month and you say, well, Brother Danny, that's a lot of money. I know, but look, what are you going to have laid up in heaven one of these days? Lay up some treasures in heaven, man. Don't just blow it all on things down here. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. Let's ask God what He'd have us to do. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of giving to missions. I thank You for the privilege of being a missionary here in Marion, North Carolina, and other places. God, when I go to Kannapolis tomorrow night, I'm going to consider myself a missionary to that place. Lord, when these people get up and go to school tomorrow, go to work, help them to realize they are a missionary to that job where they're working, to that boss man, to help, to bless, to encourage, to witness, to testify. Now, dear Lord, help us to put it on our heart, Lord. Put it on our heart what You want us to give. And may our church give more to missions than we ever have before. Not for a show or so we can brag about it, but for the people's souls that they could be saved. Oh, God, burden our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.